Welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today we're here with Mads and Jorge, and we're going to be talking about all the new awesome features in Visual Studio 11, specific to web developers. Mainly, we're going to be talking about a nice new feature called the Page Inspector, all the new stuff that you can do with CSS, the CSS 3 support that we have, some of the new JavaScript tricks, and I'll just stop talking and turn it over to them now. So.
All right, I think we should start with some of the HTML5 stuff that we've had.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, first of all, what we've done is that we've no longer made it for you to actually pick what kind of doc type and thereby what HTML specification to code against. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of just knows what you're doing.
Nice.
And if you take a look here, what we're doing by default is that we're doing sniffing of the doc type.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, up here, we can set it to a doc type mode, which is the first one here. I can't explicitly still, as always, choose exactly which one
mm-hmm.
I want, but here I'm going to use the doc type, which is default.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remove this, you'll see we have XHTML5.
Mm-hmm.
If I delete this, you'll see that it snaps to HTML5. Here we go. So now I get a new IntelliSense, and if I had XHTML1 transitional,
mm-hmm.
it will all happen automatically. So you no longer have to actually choose that. We will give you the right IntelliSense and validation based on your current doc type.
Fantastic. So later on, if I was coding, after I changed it to HTML5, I'd see things like the video tag or the audio tag.
Yes.
Whereas if I put it to HTML4, they won't be there.
Correct.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And we've done a lot of small improvements throughout the editor and the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is that we've expanded on our snippets.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw here how easy it was for me to add this new meta tag right
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say I want a new encoding here. We now supply the most, we actually look at what are the most commonly used ones, and we give them to you here. And you'll see that throughout the HTML editor, this is kind of a theme that goes, that applies to most of the things because it just makes things easier for you. You
nice.
Don't no longer have to go to Bing or Google and search for these things. You just have them in here. You don't have to context switch.
Nice.
So.
And does that carry through, if that's on a master page, does that actually carry through to the pages that use that master page?
It does, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So this HTML won't let me do something that doesn't fall into whatever the doc type is. Like, it'll basically force me to use HTML for that particular doc type.
Yes.
Awesome.
But you can override that. You can set it explicitly to HTML5, even
mm-hmm.
though your doc type is not.
Right.
That works well.
Cool.
So, let's say you have a HTML4 website, and you want to now take advantage of some of the HTML5
mm-hmm.
capabilities and the new semantic elements.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing we've made it much easier for you to actually change the tags that you use. Now here I have an H2, but maybe I wanted it to be an article, which is a new HTML5 element. And you see here as I type, how we now sync up the end tag with the begin tag.
So no more copy-paste errors.
No more copy-paste, and it's really, really easy to, and it, of course it works both ways.
Awesome, fantastic.
Yeah. And some other improvements is just the general editor experience.
Mm-hmm.
So let me create a div here. I hit enter. And we now do the right thing. We indent the caret to the right position so you can go on and write some more tags.
Fantastic.
Let's add an attribute here. Let's do an ARIA tag. Now, ARIA is an accessibility standard by the W3C.
Hmm.
And we fully support all the different ARIA attributes. And as you see here, we even give you IntelliSense for them. But what you might didn't notice here. Let's do another one. As I hit the equals, it automatically inserts the double, the value quotes,
nice.
The double quotes,
mm-hmm.
Which we had never done before by default. You could always do it, but now we do it by default.
Fantastic.
So, let's say you want to do audio.
Mm-hmm.
Audio today is maybe a little bit difficult to do,
mm-hmm.
but we now have HTML5 snippets that makes it really, really easy. And I could, I have an audio folder and I have an MP3 here and an AUG file, AUG Morpheus file.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that, for instance, Internet Explorer does not understand the AUG file,
mm-hmm.
we will make sure that they are browser compatible. And the same goes for video. So So you see here WebM and argvorp is again.
Nice.
That is super useful, especially if you don't know the syntax of the new tags, right? If I don't know the markup, what am I supposed to put? Am I supposed to be inside or subtag or anything? This is super, super useful.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And especially here with the type, we pre-fill the type for you, which might be difficult to remember sometimes. So a lot of cool stuff in HTML5, but there are also like general web forms enhancements. So one of the things that we've seen during the past 10 years is, and especially the past couple of years, is that people have moved slowly from using the design surface, the designer, into using the source view. And that's really cool. I mean, a lot of people like the code editor, and so do we, but there were some things that you simply could not do in the source editor. And some of the things were like hooking up events. So we saw a lot of people actually switching to the design view down here, waiting for it to spin up, and then they would double-click a button if there was a button they wanted to add an event handler to. Or they would use the property grid to hook up the event, whatever event that they wanted to. So what we've done is that we've actually added it, the same capabilities within the editor. So I'll give you an example. If I now do here on-click, I now have the possibility to add a new event handler. And I simply just do this. Here we go. And I can continue, and I can continue to write my markup. And whenever I'm ready, Visual Studio in the background popped up the code behind. And I now have the button save click event handler. So that's super useful for people that used to go to the design. We have other things that...
I'll be using that later.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite features, actually. Another thing we do have here is I can go in and do grid view. And so if I wanted to change any of the things, like add a data source or get some help editing the columns of my grid view, normally I would go into the designer and I would invoke the smart tasks, which would give me a menu for doing this stuff. And now, as you can see here, all HTML elements, including all the server tags, have this little glyph, this smart tag that you can open, and it gives you the exact same thing, same dropdown as the designer did before.
Right.
And it opens the same kind of wizards. And let's say I want to change my formatting in this case. It just populates.
So you no longer have to go to the designer to do this stuff. You can do it right in your code editor. That glyph, one of my favorite keystrokes, is control period. Is that a control period friendly thing?
It sure is. Let's try it.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a eureka moment.
But let me take this thing, and I don't want it here on my page. I want to move it to a user control.
Okay.
So normally what I would do is that I would do add new item, user control, copy the markup, maybe copy in the code behind as well, and then I would have to register it. And normally how I would do that was I would go to the designer, and then I would drag the user control onto the design surface. But now I can just do this. Right-click my selection and say extract user control.
Wow.
Let's just call this demo. And here we go. So it now registers for us. It does all this automatically. If you usually register your user controls in webconfig and you already have some code in your webconfig, we will respect that here as well.
Wonderful.
So it is a kind of intelligent way of doing this.
Okay. So if I had that in my webconfig, you wouldn't have slapped it in there because I've already got it in the webconfig.
Correct.
Smart enough.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Thank you from the community.
So those were the big things in the HTML editor.
Excellent.
Now let's go to CSS. So CSS has, in the past, been treated kind of like a third, not a first class citizen, because it was basically just a syntax highlighted, colorized text editor. And one of the things that we've been doing, both with CSS and JS, is to say, okay, let's bring it up to par with the C# code editor, which is, you know, has traditionally, if you look back in Visual Studio history, has been like the main thing to do.
It's a function.
So one of the things that we've been doing is to get all the missing functions in there and the functionality. So like you can collapse, you can have regions, you can comment, and onComment. This is also new. It has never been supported before. So, you know, all your muscle memory from C-sharp and the other languages also now apply here in CSS and JavaScript for that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But we've gone beyond that and said, okay, how can we actually add even more features that helps productivity or developer happiness? And working with college has always been a little bit...
Painful,
yeah, to be honest. But now we have this nice little color selector. And what's interesting about this color selector is that it just opens up like here inside IntelliSense. There is no OK button. There is no nothing. I can use my mouse and, you know, click any color. And these colors that you see right here actually come from the same document.
Wow.
So we parse the CSS and gets all the colors, and those are the ones we display for you here.
So you can kind of see your theme, like right here inside your CSS editor.
Yeah, and that's
fantastic.
Sure you reuse the same hex and RGB values. And of course, you can use the arrow keys. There's nothing here that needs the mouse.
Wonderful.
And, I mean, it doesn't really, if you don't want to use it, you just do this and, you know, it disappears. But, bringing it up here, if I hit the arrow key down again, it opens the full thing. So now you have a very granular control over your colors.
If you're a designer.
Yeah, and again, there is no OK button. You just hit enter to submit. We're committed here. But one of the things that we support from CSS3 is the alpha channel. So, and that's the RGBA.
Right.
So we have an opacity slider down here. And as I start moving it, we switch over to RGBA. Right, and if I go back up to 100%, we snap back to hex.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And that was a very difficult thing to figure out how to do in CSS prior to now. So that's wonderful. That's fantastic.
And one of the problems that we see is that if you want to use a color that you have seen on a website or you have a color somewhere else, you might want to take a screenshot and then go into paint.net or Photoshop and then find out what the color is and copy it in here. Well, now we've added an eyedropper. So clicking that will take whatever color you're clicking on here and copy it in right away. So if you have a browser on a secondary monitor, you just point to whatever color that you need, and here you go.
So no more third-party tools, no more extensions, nothing. It's all right here. And that color dropper will go outside the editor, so you can click on anything.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful.
Yep. So working with colors is a lot easier. Another thing that's also a lot easier now is working with all the CSS3 properties. Like, let's take border radius. Notice here as I type, we auto-reduce the IntelliSense list, so I very, very quickly can find what I'm looking for. But we actually do it a little bit cleverly, so you can say FW brings up font weight. And sticking with border radius, even Brad gives you border radius. And it's pretty easy here. If I tap once more, we actually know that border radius needs vendor-specific prefixed properties to work correctly across browsers. So we insert them automatically for you. So you no longer have to remember which of these properties that I'm using actually needs these vendor specifics.
Nice.
And here we have two, but of course we support, like if I do a transform, we support Opera, IE10, Mozilla, and WebKit.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And so let's go back to the border radius. Let's just keep this here. So if I wanted to use some of these vendor specifics, but I don't necessarily want all of them, or you can always go in and by typing a hyphen, then we're going to display in IntelliSense all the different vendor specifics.
Wonderful.
And there's a lot. And
wow.
Yeah. So let's just take one. Let's take this guy. No. Let's see here. This guy. So we give you full IntelliSense for it. But if I make a mistake, we also validate it. So even though it's a Mozilla specific or WebKit or Opera specific, we actually validate that you do these things correctly.
Wow.
So that should be a huge help for a lot of people.
Less memorization.
Yes.
Less referencing.
Yep.
Wonderful.
So another thing that we've felt pretty strongly about is that we do formatting correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have heard a lot from people is that they want a better hierarchical indented formatting mm-hmm. based on the cascade.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think about CSS being a cascading language.
Mm-hmm.
You have inheritance, you have child selectors, mm-hmm. and I have an example of one here where I have a header class in my selector, and here I have an H1 inside a header tag that mm-hmm. I want to write a rule for.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a relationship, a parent-child relationship between the two. And now when you format, we actually do show that. So if I go up and say format document, you see here that we actually do maintain
wonderful
this cascading relationship.
And that's customizable in the tools. I could say I want to yep. have new lines on my semicolons or whatever.
Yeah, you can have new lines, you can have whatever you want is basically available
cool.
in the tools options.
Awesome.
Yeah. So by default, you get this nice way of formatting, so you can very easily see that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And if you use CSS hacks, which a lot of people use on the selectors for targeting IE6 or IE7,
mm-hmm.
We know about this. Visual Studio actually knows what these hacks are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use a hack in one of these hierarchical indented selectors,
mm-hmm.
it will maintain its position in the hierarchy.
Well,
right? Because it knows it's a hack, so it kind of ignores it,
mm-hmm.
and we keep the flow correctly.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. More forgiving.
More forgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. We're in general, this is a much more forgiving and real-world scenario-based editor. So, of course, we have 100% CSS3 support.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
100% CSS3, but we also have support for all the vendor specifics.
Nice.
But we also have support for the hacks. So a very common thing you do for IE6, for instance, is that you have, like here we have a width of 100%,
mm-hmm.
but for IE6, I need it to be 98%. So what I would do is that I would do this, like that's it, 98%.
Mm-hmm.
So this now tells the browser, all the browsers, that the width is 100%, but this one down here is only readable by IE6.
Right.
But I don't know if you noticed, when I type this, you still get full IntelliSense, you still get the full
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before you would get an error saying this is invalid. Now we know this is actually a real world
wonderful.
Scenario, so mm. we're going to help you out. So just to end here, I'll say that the CSS is very much about helping people building real world website cross-platform, cross-browser in CSS3 and in vendor specifics. And the way we've done it is that we've looked at 500 of the biggest websites and,
mm-hmm.
and looked at all their CSS
mm-hmm.
and seen all the hacks that they do
mm-hmm.
and all the errors that they do
mm-hmm.
and figured out how can we actually improve the experience.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So hopefully that's the impression that people are left off with when they try the new CSS.
Oh, engine. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing here is that a lot of the things that they've just been small little nuances that I've been frustrated about throughout the years and that I've heard people complain about, you've kind of dealt with those in this particular release.
Yeah.
Kind of moving forward.
It's a lot about details. Also in HTML. Get all the details out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes people happy. That mm-hmm. makes developers happy when they get a little extra than they
mm-hmm.
expected.
Mm-hmm.
And this is especially true for CSS, which has undergone a huge change.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's actually brand new.
Fantastic.
It's rebuilt from scratch.
Wow.
To allow this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because the old CSS engine did not understand some of the new language constructs, like
mm-hmm.
a media query. So if I want to do media query, it's a little bit difficult, but we now make it easier by having snippets right here. And another thing is font embedding.
Mm-hmm.
Also a little bit difficult, but you see here we actually help you do the right thing.
Again, less copy-paste. So
you don't have to go to Bing and figure out what the exact syntax is.
Right.
You just have it right here.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the page inspector and learn how that will actually help you debug your pages both at runtime and in design time. And we're going to turn it over to Jorge and let him kind of run with that.
So thanks, Matt, for showing us all the HTML, CSS stuff. That's going to be pretty fantastic. So now moving on to the to Page Inspector, I want to give you a little bit of background of what we're thinking about this feature.
Mm-hmm.
And well, one thing that we can see with all the things that Mads is doing is all the standards are they change so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, we had HTML4, now we have HTML5, CSS3, we have the next ones in the works, the drafts haven't been completed, we have all these things that are changing, right? So the problem for us is, you know, from a design view perspective, how do we keep up to date? You know, browsers are having trouble keeping up to date. How do we keep up to date, you know, providing tooling for all these things? And so we sat for a while, and we were thinking, you know, what can we do to solve these problems? And the other thing that we were thinking of is, you know, sort of when you're building your web applications, everything is kind of siloed into two different pieces, right? On one side, you have your source code, and it's composed of, you know, ASPX files, you have server-side code, you have JavaScript, you have HTML, CSS, and you have your one silo, and then you put all that in a server, and then your client goes here and hits that server, and then ASP.NET does some magic, you know, and transforms all your server-side files into HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. So there's no clear connection between what did I write in my server, you know, my source code that went through the server and generated some HTML. I don't really know. It could be super simple, the site's simple, but if, you know, as sites are, you know, growing and becoming more complex, that's kind of hard to figure out. So we had a Eureka moment, right? So we actually co-named the project Eureka. They didn't let us keep the name. But we call it Page Inspector now.
Nice.
So let me show you, you know, kind of where we are today with the tooling that we have today and the problems that we're solving with Page Inspector. So I built an MVC4 project that you'll see. And it's just it helps us manage our Scrum project, right? So you will see a list of features that we're working in this sprint that you see over here. We have backlog, so let's click on that. We have some jQuery running, so it's a complete site. You have some stuff working, and everything's pretty cool. But there's a couple of things that are wrong, right? So for one, we can see the button here in the navigation. You know, the home button doesn't really look like the rest of the buttons in the navigation bar. Someone left the semicolon over there, probably don't know the racer syntax pretty well by now for some reason. And so we're going to fix that, right? So I'm a pro developer. I work in a big company. And how do I fix this? So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up my browser tools. I'm going to inspect the element that is not working. And you know, it's super, super simple. OK, so we can tell the li tag is missing from that element. OK, so where do I fix it? Yeah, that's the next step. So now I know what to fix, so where do I go fix it? So today, this is the experience today. So let's go back to our project. First thing we're going to do is, you know, we know a little bit of MVC. We know the root of my project is probably going to be the home controller. And check out the index view, right? So we go to home, we open up index. We try to figure out, we don't see any navigation here. So let's try to figure out which is the default controller, right? So we open up global ASAX. We go through the routes, we figure out if someone changed it to feature for some reason. So let's go open the features. Let's go open the index view. I still don't see any navigation bar. It's probably then in my layout page. So let's go to shared. Let's go to layout. Oh, cool. I found it. It's here. So I go ahead. I add my tags, and it should be fixed. I save. I alt-tab, go to my browser, refresh. Super simple task. You know, it's just adding the one tag to my element. Where do I fix it? OK. So it took us four different files, plus all the, you know, the hassle to go through navigate all my code.
And years of experience. And
right.
Right, yeah.
And this is super simple, right? When sites are more complex, if you're trying to deal with like a CMS that's so complex, you don't really know where things are coming from. So let's try to solve that problem with Page Inspector. So for now, let's just right-click on my project and say I want to view this project in Page Inspector. So the first thing you'll notice is we actually brought the browser experience into Visual Studio. So this is not design view. This is not something I can click and you know, edit it right there. This is a full browser. So I can navigate. We can see JavaScript is running in my browser. I can move things around. And we actually added some browser tools as well that I'll show you in a little bit. But the coolest features that we have is called inspect mode. So let's try to get into inspect mode. We click on the button here. And let's try to inspect the element that we wanted to fix. Let me hide the Solution Explorer for a bit. So let me do that again. As I'm inspecting the page, we see on the right side how we're actually opening the exact source file where the element is being generated at. And what we're doing is, so we're actually transversing your client DOM tree and trying to map that to your exact location in your source file. Wow. So we don't care if it's generated, if HTML generated it, or if it's server code. In this example, we can see it's Razor that is actually generating that element.
Okay.
So that's super powerful, right? So if you actually just want to play on with your site, you can tell we're actually opening different files. Mm-hmm. So right now we're opening one called full-list.cshtml. We go here, we open the layout, we inspect the logon, we open partial views. So this is fantastic. We're actually decomposing your site as you're inspecting it.
Wow.
So to fix that in Page Inspector, you can just inspect that element, take it to the exact file, add the tag that you're missing. And well, since we have all the information about, you know, all these different files compose your page, mm-hmm. well, we added a hotkey that will actually save all your files for you and refresh the browser. So we're trying to get rid of the notion where, you know, Visual Studio is here, my application is here, and I have to Alt-Tab, you know, mm-hmm. between all these different things to keep them in sync. Mm-hmm. So we have Control-Alt-Enter that you can just hit, and it'll save, refresh the browser for you. So what we're trying to do is that, you know, it'd be super awesome if folks can stay in the awesome editors that we're building,
yeah.
and you no longer have to go to the browser and do all these different things. Now it's just stay in the editor.
Right.
You know,
that's fantastic.
It's going to be much, much easier for you to be changing your code as you go.
It would be awesome if I could just hit F5 and it would open up in Page Inspector.
So actually, one thing that we could do, good thing that you mentioned it, by the way, we've added a new feature in Visual Studio where you can actually set your default browser for debugging. This is just for debugging. We don't change your Windows default
right.
browser. This
right.
is just for Visual Studio. So this will only show me the browsers that I have installed,
mm-hmm.
and we actually plug Page Inspector into that list as well.
Wonderful.
So now, if you do that and you hit F5, you will start using Page Inspector as your debugging
wow.
browser.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's
what I do. I detach the window and put it on my secondary monitor.
Right, right. Right?
And then F5, and you nice. Always have the latest without the Alt Tab thing.
And if I did a Control Shift Enter, I wouldn't even have to hit F5. It just updates automatically?
Exactly.
Yep. Wow.
It's perfect.
It's wonderful.
So we're envisioning this experience where Visual Studio is your one-stop shop now.
Yeah.
So now we see an example of how do we tie, you know, Page Inspector to the HTML work. So now let's tie it to the CSS.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I'm going to show you now is the browser tools that we built into Page Inspector. I think folks are going to be pretty familiar with all this stuff. We have some CSS tabs over here, styles, tray styles, my layout, everything. So one cool thing that we did, though, it's now let's say that we want to change the color for, you know, this header. How do we tie it to all the awesome work that Matt is doing? So let's open the color property that we have, and we'll see all the different rules apply to the element.
Mm-hmm.
But if we click on the rule, we actually open the exact CSS file, select the rules for you, so you no longer have to, you know, has it happened to you when you're building a site and then you go, you know, this is not really what I want, so I'm going
right.
to toy around with my properties,
yeah.
going to write them either down on a piece of paper,
yeah.
try to remember everything that I did, go back,
right.
find the rules, save it, go back, refresh, try to see if all these things are working.
Yeah.
We're trying to remove all that, you know,
nice.
All that hassle that you have to go through. So let's just change the color. So I can do the same thing. Let's just bring up the editor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can link the editor. I change it. Your Page Inspector tells me, hey, you just changed something in your CSS, refresh, do Control Alt Enter, and we can see that now, you know, we have the black color in this header.
Wonderful.
So with Page Inspector, truly what we're doing is with today's methodology of building web applications,
mm-hmm.
with, for example, with MVC, you have layout pages, you have partial views, and you have the view. You also have jQuery getting some stuff from the server.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these different things. And it's really hard for us to provide a design surface.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, you know, why don't, instead of trying to guess or trying to
mm-hmm.
interpret the code, why
mm-hmm.
don't we just provide the live application that the user is building?
Right. Right.
So we're trying to build all these different features on top of this.
Wonderful. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So this is basically what Page Inspector is. And the only thing that we do need to run your application is we need an app setting that we automatically prompt you. When you first start to use Page Inspector, we launch a new pop-up that says, hey, we need to add an app setting. Do you want to add it? Click yes. Just
cool.
like the way you would add the debug flag
right,
when you start
right, exactly.
debugging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty much the same experience.
It's only a one-time thing per site, right?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. Would you want to remove that before you went to production?
You could. Yeah, actually, it would be the recommendation. We're
okay.
working. We have a feature that we hopefully we'll get to it. No, we will get to it by RTM. That when you publish your site using
mm-hmm.
our publish feature,
mm-hmm.
we will do a webconfig transfer to actually remove it from
nice.
The webconfig.
Fantastic.
But if you do FTP publishing or any other thing that is not actually going through a publish
right.
pipe, you will need to remove it from
okay.
from the webconfig manually.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
But if you accidentally keep it in for your production site, nothing bad will happen, right?
Nothing bad will happen.
That's good. Right. That's good. Yeah. Good to know. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, it's just good to have. Awesome. One thing that I do want to get feedback from our audience, though, mm-hmm. is there's a little experience that we're still trying to figure out with Page Inspector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happens when I try to drag Page Inspector out of Visual Studio. Let's say I have two monitors,
mm-hmm.
and I want to have Page Inspector in one and Visual Studio in the other.
Right.
Today, the experience is if I drag it out, we're a tool window, so it will basically behave the way any tool window does, which is it'll stay on top of Visual Studio. It has, you know, the Z index of the window mm-hmm. is just going to be always higher than VS, so it's
right.
always on top of it.
Right.
The VS team actually implemented a feature called independent tool windows. So one thing that we can do is we can go back and we go to the Tabs and Windows area, and we select floating tool windows. We deselect this option
mm-hmm.
when I hit OK. Next time that I actually undock Page Inspector, let me undock it, put it over here, this guy now becomes its own window. So now we can see that here, Page Inspector actually has its own, it becomes its own window. So I can now tap to it. It's no longer on top of a Visual Studio. You can do this.
So it's more like a browser-y
kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to hear from the audience if they would like this to be the default for Page Inspector, or if we should just leave it as a tool window, and they can change it if they want.
Awesome, awesome.
If you guys, you know, feel free to
user voice or whatever.
Yeah, you can go to aspnet.uservoice.com
mm-hmm.
and we'll be monitoring that for feedback.
Awesome.
And now let's take it back to Matt. I think he has some awesome JS features that you want to show us.
I do, yes.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, so the next thing that I want to show you guys is the new features of the JavaScript editor.
Mm-hmm.
We've completely rewritten it from scratch
mm-hmm.
To allow for some new capabilities. And one of the coolest features, I think, is that it's built on top of the Chakra JavaScript engine that runs IE9 and IE10.
Awesome.
So it's really, really fast. And mm-hmm. you can actually feel it as you type how
mm-hmm.
fast it is.
Mm-hmm.
So IntelliSense and syntax checking and so on,
mm-hmm.
is it feels very immediate. There is no lagging, no nothing. It's
awesome.
it's a real pleasure. So we've done a lot of work on IntelliSense.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to show you here is that we now have this these dot comments, which you've always had.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it really easy for me to know that, hey, it takes a string.
Mm-hmm.
This JavaScript function ABC takes a string as the first parameter.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just do that. And the second is also a string.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here we go. And I'll call this function.
Mm-hmm.
So as a new thing on top of this, is that since I now have an outcall this function, even if it was in a different JavaScript file,
mm-hmm.
I would still get the same IntelliSense. So we have a way more intelligent way for the IntelliSense to know which files to load IntelliSense.
Awesome.
So I'm showing it here as the same file,
mm-hmm.
but you get
mm-hmm.
the same experience
right.
if you have a multiple file.
Nice.
Yeah. And another thing that you can do across multiple files is you can right-click and say go to definition, or hit F12. So let's do that. And you see it jump up here.
Nice.
So finally, we got that was one of the biggest requests we've had on the our user voice account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really nice that we finally got that in.
Nice.
And again, this also works on multiple files. So let's say that you call a jQuery function.
Mm-hmm.
Now, jQuery for a lot of people is this black box of magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't really know what goes on inside of it,
mm-hmm.
But we use it all the time.
Right.
So. I'm very curious, and for me, it's really, really cool that when I call something from jQuery, that I can say go to definition, and I actually jump into jQuery, and I see what happens
wow.
Under the hood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just jump right into the jQuery file, right wherever that function is.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Just don't edit it.
Don't edit it, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So the whole thing about JavaScript is that it can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there is one thing that for a long time has been a little bit problematic, especially when you get a new library that you don't know and you have to learn what are all the APIs that I can call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have always provided you with IntelliSense for what are all the names of the functions
mm-hmm,
and you
mm-hmm.
can easily write.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the libraries have what they call function overloads.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you take jQuery, for instance,
mm-hmm.
the constructor takes a lot of different parameters. It can be a selector, it can be a function, a callback,
mm-hmm.
it can be a lot of different
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
And there has been no way for us to show you what those different things are.
Right.
We can just show you this takes these number of parameters, mm-hmm. but you have to go to jQuery.com and read the documentation
right.
and see what you actually have to supply
right. Right.
In those arguments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here I have a function called add.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really do anything, but if I call it, you'll notice what we do here. We now have function overloads. This is not a feature of JavaScript. JavaScript does not have the concept, mm-hmm. like C#, for instance, has mm-hmm. method overloads. That does not exist in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
But we can mimic the same behavior to give that first-class experience that you're used to in C#.
Wonderful.
Or Visual Basic.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that with these signatures. So we can see this function has two signatures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is basically how we define these things. And we can also, again, here you know, it's a number.
Mm-hmm.
First parameter is a number. So the second parameter and the
mm-hmm.
third.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really helpful.
Nice. Yeah, I would agree.
And there's a lot more features around IntelliSense that you can specify how your callback is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a function
mm-hmm.
that takes a callback, which mm-hmm. is
common,
very common,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What does that callback look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it come with arguments? What
mm-hmm.
arguments? What types are they?
Mm-hmm.
You can also specify that so you get full IntelliSense all the way down.
Wow, that's
yeah.
fantastic.
So that's super helpful.
That's very helpful. Very efficient.
Yeah. And you see here we have like the code collapsing. We awesome. Have region support as well.
Wonderful.
In CSS we have
nice.
The regions. I forgot nice. To mention that.
Nice.
So all the same features that you're used to from the other editors
awesome.
Are now available here.
It seems like the JavaScript and CSS worlds have matured a lot, as has the ability to actually debug live.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, all this comes from really rethinking
yeah.
What a modern JavaScript and CSS mm-hmm. editor mm-hmm. should mm-hmm. be able to do.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm excited to get started playing, so we're going to go ahead and end this show now and go download a copy of the beta and start writing some JavaScript and some CSS. Hope that you guys have really enjoyed this show. I know I have. And pretty sure you're going to be a lot more efficient whenever you grab our new IDE. Look forward to it. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate
okay.
your time.
Thanks for having us
yeah.
over.
Cool. Awesome.
Please remember to give us all your feedback at the Connect site and go to Use Your Voice, go to asp.net.useyourvoice.com and give us all the feedback for features that you want to hear from, get from us. We monitor that every single day. We look at the features, and that's basically how we came up with Dev 11.
Nice.
So more features, you know, more feature ideas. That's going to be better next Visual Studio for you
awesome.
Guys.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.